Going through the book of Acts, trying to take a chapter at a time. We spent a lot of time in Acts 1 and 2 talking about the Holy Spirit, because that's when the Holy Spirit birthed the New Testament church, and we found out that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and it's very important that you believe in the Trinity, the Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody said amen. Those three are one. And then we looked at Acts 3, Acts 4, and then today, if I was going to stay in that lane, today was going to be Acts 5. Well, I've read Acts 5 several times, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to bring a message from Acts 5, but I just wasn't feeling it for this Sunday. And if you know anything about Acts 5, if you've read it before, that's where Ananias and Sapphira basically dropped dead in church. So I told Jada that I was gonna have a message called "Drop Dead" today, and I didn't think that would minister to anybody here. So, so I decided, Lord, I'm not feeling that about Ananias and Sapphira. Of course, there's other things in Acts chapter 5. I know I'm making fun of that, and we need to laugh, and it's okay to laugh. God's got a sense of humor, amen. And so anyway, but I felt like. This message for today, that somebody was going to be here that needed to hear this, okay? If it's just one person, if it's somebody that's watching online. But it really pertains to all of us. And even if you're not in this season that I'm going to talk about today, you possibly will be at some time in your life, just because we all go through seasons. Just like we go through in the natural, we go through fall, winter, spring, and summer. You go through those same kind of seasons in life, okay? And so what I want to do is I want to have a little fun with this starting off. So I want to ask you a question. How many of you are just crushing life right now? I'm talking life is so stinking good. You can't, you should be twins. Life is so good right now. Okay, I got a couple. Judy, all right. I got the two Judys in the house. Are like, there they are. Double. There's the twins, Judy and Judy right here. They're living their best life right now. How many of you would say, Pastor Mark, really I'm interested in the neutral zone. Life's not just, great, but life's not bad either, and I'm just neutral, and I'm just, there we go, got a hand already going up, got several hands. You're just staying faithful, and life's right there. You're supposed to be, life is great with me, babe. She's over here going, neutral, yeah. I'll give you neutral, honey, neutral. All right. How many of you, but you'd say this, and I wanted to have a little fun with this, but the last one is, and I have found myself in this season before too, and so if you're here today and you're in this season, I want you to know you're in good company, all right? And it's a winter season, even though it's summer outside, it's winter in your life, or it may be summer in your season where it's the desert experience that we all go through at times in life, but how many of you right now are saying, Pastor Mark, really, to be honest with you, I'm not living my best life. I'm not even in neutral. I feel like I'm almost in reverse, and I'm being crushed by life right now. Like, this is a very low season. And if that's you, I know no hands are going up right now. That's okay. I just want you to know you're in the right company, because I've been in that low season before. And if you haven't been, you may go... sometimes, and I don't want to be a prophet of doom and gloom, but we go through mountaintops and we go through valleys, and we go through halfway up the mountain kind of experiences, and that's where Jada's at today. She says, I'm just halfway up the mountain with you, baby. I'm going to give her a hard time through this whole message now. But we all go through mountaintops and valley experiences in the low season, and you don't ever hear messages about what to do in the mountaintop seasons. You hear messages about what to do in the low seasons. In the valleys, and we all need to know that. And so this is that kind of a message today, and I've entitled it "The God Who Sees Me," and you'll understand that here in just a little bit. And it's okay. I just want you to know right now, if you're in a low season, if you're in a downtime, if you feel like your life is in reverse, I just want to tell you it's okay. Yes. And then I also want to tell you this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the big idea with today's message is God sees you. And he's for you, and he's with you, even if you don't feel him. Yes. Okay? All right, I want you to, if you have your Bibles, and I'm going to put it up here on the screen too, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 16. verses 1 through 14. And whenever I was preparing this message, something that the Lord dropped in my spirit, actually just dropped it in my spirit this morning when we were worshiping, to say to all of us, is the God who sees me, and this really has nothing to pertain to this message, but I feel like I need to say it for all of us, because you have been set in your family as the light. If you're here today, you're the light in your family, okay? And this story I'm about to read is about a family. It's Abraham and Sarah, but we're actually looking before they became Abraham and Sarah. We're looking at it when they were Abram and Sarai, not Siri, okay? That's a joke. I worked on that all week, okay? You're supposed to laugh at that. Not Siri, but Sarai is her name. And this is a story that's going on in their family, okay? This is going on. They were nomads, so they're living in a tent. So this is the family stuff that's going on inside of their tent. Amen? Okay? And I'm just going to tell you what we're going to read today. What happened in this story is still being experienced today between Ishmael and Isaac. You read this story, Genesis tells us that Ishmael would have been 4 years older than Isaac, because this is before the promised son, which was Isaac. Ishmael still came from God, okay? And we're going to see that here in the scripture. But because of the dissension that's in this household over this situation, Ishmael and Isaac, that hatred, that envy, that jealousy is still being experienced today. The reason why I want to share that is because every family in here, I can guarantee you right now, because mine is too, every family is dysfunctional, okay? Every family is, yeah. Travis is like, mine is absolutely dysfunctional. He's even raising his hand. And I can raise my hand too with him. Every family is dysfunctional. But the deal is, you know, with God at the center of it, it can function. With God not at the center of it, it's not going to function. And so what I want you to do is to think about what's being passed down to your children. All of us know families that, you know, they may be in the second, third generation, but they're still experiencing what their granddads fought over, or their grandmas fought over, or their granddad and their grandmas fought over. Anybody know families like that? Well, we're seeing a family here. What happened in this household, how many thousands of years has it been, and it's still going on today. And what I'm telling you is that by the authority of Jesus Christ and his blood is enough that you can stop whatever dysfunction is happening in your household and your family line to be passed down to another generation. Amen. If you will stand up and do it. Amen. Okay? Somebody in this house should have stood up and stopped the junk that I'm about to read. Okay? But nobody did. So here we go. Everybody ready? All right, Genesis chapter 16. I just wanted to preface this story with that. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian. See, they were promised Isaac. They were promised a son. They were promised a descendant. But they decided, you know what, it's not happening. We're getting older. We can't see how it's going to happen in the natural. So here's what, God, we're going to help you out. How many of you ever done that? Right? Okay. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Now, immediately, as a man, you should be saying, honey, say what? Yeah. Right? Exactly. But look what Abraham said. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Okay, honey, I'll take you up on that. Yeah. All right? Now, this is dysfunction already happening, all right? Now, but I want to also preface this with this, is that back in that day, this was customary. If the woman was barren, if the wife was barren, that they could actually use one of their slaves, one of their servants, to help them continue their family line. All right, so this was customary in the day. But still, even if it was customary, here's the deal. God had promised them a son through them, not through someone else, through them. So they're getting ahead of the promise. They're trying to make it all happen in their flesh. And so verse 3 says, so after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Guys, this is better than any soap opera you could ever come up with, okay? And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. So Hagar got a little prideful, some, you know, jealousy, things are going on in the house, envy, all this kind of stuff. This is all happening under Abram's care, all right, under his tent. He's the man of the house. He didn't step up and do anything about it, and he's Father Abraham. He's going to be one of the first ones you see when you get to heaven, all right, because he's our great-great-great-granddaddy, father of the faith. Verse 5 says, then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I'm sure he's thinking to himself, do what? You told me to do this. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. And I'm sure Abram's like, golly. And then verse 6 says, your slave is in your hands, Abram said. So Abram's like, I'm not taking responsibility for this, even though he had full responsibility. He shared in this responsibility. He's like, I'm not doing anything about it. Okay, dads and fathers, you've got a responsibility. And everybody said, amen, all right? And we have shared responsibility in the home. And Abram said, this is what he said, do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar. Everybody say mistreated. We have no idea. Ladies, I'd like some feedback later today and tell me how she mistreated her. I have no idea because the Bible doesn't specifically say that. It must have been pretty bad because it says, so she fled from her. All right? She's like, I'm getting out of here, Hagar said. So the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. So she's in the desert, but there's a spring because she needed water. And it was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. Now I'm going to do a little play on words here today. Because I was like, the road to Shur. If you feel like you're in the desert today, I promise you, you're on the road to Shur. You're going to get there, all right? A little play on words. Verse 8 says, and he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And I feel like there's some people here today, you're like, God, I feel lost right now. I feel defeated. I'm doubting that you're with me. I don't know where I've come from. I don't even know where I'm going today, and I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. And then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. Now I want to stop right there. I feel like there's somebody here today, I don't know who you are, you're going through something, it may be somebody listening on the radio, maybe somebody listening to this broadcast today, and you're going through something and you're trying to run from it, and you're actually running from the process that God's trying to put you through. And you need to go back to it and submit to it. And you might be saying, even if I'm being mistreated, and I'm saying even if you're being mistreated. And I know that's not for everybody. Sometimes God says, no, it's time. Your season's up here. You know, the season of grace is over and you've got to move on. But I feel like you've been fighting against this for so long. You're like kicking against the goads, so to speak. And God's saying, I'm not opening up any more doors for you because I want you to go back to this situation. I want you to submit to the process because I'm doing something in you and through you that you have no idea what I'm doing. Yes. And everybody said, that's the ways of God. Sometimes he'll release you and tell you to go on and move on, and sometimes he'll say, no, I want you to stay right here even though you're being mistreated because I still see what's going on, but there's a process that I'm trying to do. All right, verse 10 says, the angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they'll be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. Okay? He did the ultrasound for her right there. All right? Right there in the desert. She had no idea she was pregnant. Like, wasn't that funny? I got one laugh out of the crowd. Is God did that because they didn't have ultrasounds back then, and God spoke to her prophetically, you're pregnant right now, and you're going to give birth to a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. Ishmael means the Lord hears. And God was telling her, I have heard Ishmael, but I've also heard your cry to me and what's going on. Now, verse 12, and this is not what you want spoken prophetically over your son or daughter, okay? But she is so excited that God is speaking to her. In verse 12, it says, he will be a wild donkey. Okay, there's other words for that. All right, I'll let you know what they are. Of many in his hand, I can't even say, what does that read up there? I can't read that, guys. that of a man, his hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, and this is the title of this message today. You are the God who sees me. Everybody say, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It's still there, and I looked that up, by the way, didn't know how to pronounce that. It is still there between, it's still there today between Kadesh and Bered. And so here's, if you're in a low season right now, I'm going to give you just five quick things this morning based off of this story in the Word of God. And here's number one, if you're taking notes. Number one is that God sees you. Just like he saw Hagar and what she was going through, she was being mistreated. She didn't sign up for this. She was just being obedient to her masters, which was Abram and Sarai. And then she starts getting mistreated because she got pregnant because she was trying to help them take on their family line. And she didn't sign up for any of this. And then Sarai starts mistreating her and she flees the household. And then God shows up and says, you know what? I'm here. I'm with you. You're going to have a son. And she says, God, you're the God who sees me. Now, I'm going to give you a name of God that Hagar named God, one of his names. He's got many names throughout the Old Testament, and this is his name, is El-Roi. R-O-I, L-R-O-I. And this is I'll give you the how you spell it, El-Roi. And that just means the God who sees me. So anytime that you hear somebody doubting if God's with them, just say, hey, El-Roi. And that just means God sees you. God sees me, the God who sees me. The people around you may not see you and what's going on around you, but God sees you, and God knows the situation you're in and what's going on. He knows how he even knows what's being said behind closed doors about you, and he even knows how to turn that for your good. And everybody said that God sees you. God sees me. Here's number two. God knows everything about your situation. God knows everything about everything about everything that you're going through. He even knows more than you do. You might say, God don't know my story. Yeah, he does. He wrote your story before you even showed up here on this planet. He wrote your story. He knows your story better than you even know your story. Hagar, God knew more than she did. She had no idea that she was pregnant. She had no idea that she was going to, well, she knew she was pregnant, but she had no idea that she was going to have a son and that this son was going to birth a nation. She had no idea about all that until God showed up. So God knows more than you do about your story. Another example of this is in the woman at the well in John chapter 4 is whenever she came to the well and Jesus told her, said, go get your husband. And she told a little lie, white lie, to God. And she said to the Lord, and she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you said right, because you've had five, and the one that you're living with is not your husband. And she was like, I think you're a prophet. And he said, ta-da, yeah. And she came to know the living water through that, because she was like, God sees me. God knows I've been through five husbands. Now I'm living with a man because I can't find love. But she finally found love in Jesus. She found the living water. And God was telling her, I know more about your story than you do. Way more. And I love this about Jesus. We have a high priest that knows everything that we go through here on this planet. He knows everything because he came here and dwelt here like one of us. And the Bible goes on to say that in John chapter 4, that woman became an evangelist and led her whole village, came out to see Jesus, and she told them about this prophet Jesus, and they found out that he was the Son of God, and she did too. Here's number three. God is working on your situation and in your situation right now. He's working on it, and he's working in it right now. You may not see it. You may not feel it. You may not even, you don't feel like you've seen God in years working on anything in your life. And I promise you, he's working on your situation and in your situation right now. And I love this message. This is out of I love this scripture out of the Message Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It says, we do not yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. You don't see all things right now. You might think you do, but you don't. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. I love the story, one of the stories in the Bible that's always that always grips me that we talk about around Easter time is the thief on the cross, the one that repented, and Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And I've always thought about that, you know, what was going on in that thief that he saw Jesus for who he was, that he was the Christ. And so I'm going to paraphrase some of this and just, I feel like that, I think that they were on the same road together going to Calvary. And I think that this man that was the thief on the cross, there was one on his left, one on his right. And I think this one saw what Jesus was going through, saw people that were cursing him, but also people that were there that were worshiping him too as the Son of God. And I think he became conflicted in his mind and he began to see what Jesus was going through. And I think Jesus had all this, you know, the flogging that happened to his back. He saw this man trying to carry his cross and he couldn't do it. And someone from the crowd came and helped him. And I think that he saw all this going on and heard all the things going on. And when he got to the cross, he was convinced that this man is in my story today for a reason. Yes. And that's why he cried out to Jesus. And I think Jesus knew God was working our plan out of salvation, but also that gentleman's plan out for salvation at that time as well. God was in his story and working on his story right then and there. Isn't that awesome? Yes. All right, here's number four. God is greater. God is greater. And you've got to get that down so deep in your spirit that no trial, no situation, no setback, no disease, no anything can knock that off, knock God off the throne, okay? That you've got it so set in your spirit, man, that no matter what card's been dealt you, what hand's been dealt you, that my God is greater.
Yes. Amen.
My God is greater. And Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. I love that scripture. Yes. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. The only way that you can say my God is greater is if your life is hidden with Christ in God. Meaning, are you in Jesus? Not in yourself. Are you in Jesus? Because then you can say my God is greater than anything that I'm going through. And here's the last one today. And this is not a long word today, but has it helped anybody in this house today? This has been helping me tremendously. And here's number five. God will use your present situation in your future story for his glory.
Amen.
And I've seen that happen so many times in our lives. Most of you in here know our story, okay? Some of you have been through the same kind of story. You know, our son, that's our story. One of the things that we had went through where I had doubts and I had, you know, God, are you with us? God, where are you at? What's going on? You know, it's when Jaden went home to be with the Lord back in 1998. But I have seen God faithfully show me, Mark, I still see you. Mark and Jada, I still see you. Mark and Jada, I'm still with you. And even though I don't understand, I still don't have the understanding of why that had to happen or why that did happen. But God has used what we went through in our future story for his glory. We wrote a book about it. That book has blessed many that we can't even touch. Last week, we had somebody come by our house at 9:30 at night over at Foss Lake, a friend of ours who's going through something, and they just needed to be around somebody with strength and to say, there's hope, you're going to get through this, and everything's going to be okay, and our God is greater.
Yes.
Don't know what the outcome's going to be, but you know what? God is greater,
yes.
And he's going to take care of you. They just need to be around somebody that had been through it. It's on the other side. So whatever you've gone through, God wants to use that situation to help others. God will actually send people across your path so that you'll minister to them.
Amen.
For his glory.
Yes.
And here's this is God has never promised us that he will explain everything to us on this side of heaven, but he has promised us that he will use everything that comes against us for the good of heaven.
Amen.
And he'll do it every time. Those are the five things coming from that story about Hagar. And he is the God who sees me. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to look at somebody and say, God sees you.
God sees you.
Okay. Now say it to yourself, God sees me.
God sees me.
Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want you to know that you're here today because God sees you and he loves you and he wants his best for you and he knows everything that's going on in your life right now. He knows your story better than you even know it. And he knows things that are going on behind the scenes that he's causing to work together for your good. But I just want to make sure before we leave here today that everyone here is in Christ, because that's where our God is greater. If you know that I can run to that tower, that the Lord Jesus is my strong tower, and you have to be in Christ to do that. And so I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation. And if you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Those that are listening by radio, those that are watching online as well. And if this is the first time that you pray this prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. And I'd be honored to do that for you, either here at the church or some other location. We live over at Foss Lake. We can do baptisms at Foss Lake as well. And so I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer with me and with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. God is good. And all the time, do you believe that God sees you today? I hope you do. Okay. I want everybody to stand up. Jada, why don't you come up here with me? Why don't you join hands with the person there next to you, if you like them? No, I'm just kidding. And we're going to speak this blessing over you out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Yes.
May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace.
Amen.
May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today.
Yes.
May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you.
Amen.
May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide.
Yes.
May you be blessed in your health.
Amen.
May you be blessed in your relationships.
Amen.
May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous.
Amen.
From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, God sees you.
God sees you.
Amen.